This is Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Nick and Lisa? Can you feel it?
I can feel it.
Good. This is Lou, and I'm joined tonight by Lisa DeLascio, Ginger Snaps, and straight out of rehab, Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yacketalist.
Man, I thought it was so funny when Dave Painter, he's like, oh, I'm so glad you got over your addiction, Nick. And I was just like, oh, God, no. Lou was kidding.
And for those who don't know... Go ahead, Lisa.
I didn't know if Dave was being sarcastic or it turns out he was serious. He really thought that you were overcoming Nick.
Maybe he was being sarcastic. I don't remember exactly what was said, but I thought he was serious. I was like, oh, no.
I think he was serious.
Yeah.
I believe he was serious. And for those who don't know, young Nick was in rehab for his addiction to children's Tylenol and Flintstone chewables. Now, last time that you and I were on the show together, I'm not sure if that was your last appearance, but last time you had your wisdom teeth taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they had you on, what was it, ibuprofen or something like that?
They had me on oxycodone.
Okay. And you were slurring your words, and you read the second hour intro before the second hour even started.
Yeah, the last segment of the first hour.
wasn't that Lisa's first episode?
Yeah, it sure was.
Okay, all right, so we're all back together again. And how are you doing with your shakes, Nick?
I'm doing great.
A little twitchy, doing all right?
A little bit, yeah.
So, now that you're out of rehab, now that you're done Breaking Bad in rehab and everything, you and the rest of the yak farmers have taken over a picnic area in Oregon. Is that correct?
Yeah. We think that the federal government is mismanaging this bird habitat, and I think we should be introducing new species of animals, including the Tibetan yak.
Ooh, yes. Oh. Are you bringing snacks?
We will bring yak jerky.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we are going to talk about the Oregon snack off a little bit later on in the show. But you had an interesting story that you emailed me about earlier, and we were talking about it a couple minutes ago before we went on the air, and there's a person that you want to help out. And if you could tell us a little bit about it, Nick.
Yeah, I don't know if she wants me to give out what her name is on radio. I didn't ask her this, but I told her that I would offer up some help as much as I could. I've been talking to this mother in New York City. She's been being threatened by Child Protective Services. They're threatening to take away her kid. There's a lot of legal issues going on. She's trying to get some help. She can't afford a private attorney right now, so she's trying to either get some funds or find somebody that could help her out with dealing with the appeals process and trying to get a warrant kind of pushed to the side for now. Like she thinks that the warrant is unfounded. They don't have a reason to arrest her, but she doesn't really know how to talk to the court and get them to the judge to I don't know what the legal terms are, but to suspend the warrant. So if you want to help out, if you want to donate any money, I don't know exactly the link to the fundraiser off the top of my head, but if you'd like to contact me to help, you can go to my website. That's an-yak.com, an-yak.com. You can go to my about page and you can email me from there. It'd be really greatly appreciated.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Now, how much have you spoken with her?
I have had a couple conversations with her. I think it's been a couple conversations over Skype. And I met her through through a group chat that a few other people, I don't know if, it doesn't really matter what it was. It was a nonviolent communication group, actually. So I met her through there, and she told her story to a few of us. And then a few of us have been trying to help her out in any way we can. We have a support group, Facebook group, set up so that we can try and help her work with some strategies to get this taken care of. And okay. I've been talking to her on Facebook through that.
I didn't know that you're into NVC.
Yeah, I am. I'm into trying to use compassionate communication.
Okay. Do you know Katie from here in Michigan?
I have heard her name. I have not contacted her yet, but I've been working with people who do know her.
Okay. Yeah, she's a real sweetie. You'll like her when you finally get a chance to talk to her. But what exactly is this woman in jeopardy of losing her children over?
Well, so that's the thing, is it doesn't seem to be over much. So the way she explained her story is she was homeschooling her kid from when they were very young. I don't think they ever really went into public school until later. I think it was, she's had two daughters. I know that both have been arrested for, I believe it was, skipping school, basically, is what she told me. Somehow they got in trouble
truancy.
Because they were out. Yes, truancy. That's the word. And, so now CPS is, after a few years, they kind of dropped her, trying to harass her and get her kids to go back in school. And this CPS officer, the whatever they're called, the investigators, they've been wanting to talk to her daughter. And she says that they have no legal reason to be able to do that. So she's been not letting them talk to her daughter, but now they have issued a warrant for her arrest, this mother's arrest, and so she has to deal with that now.
Okay, so essentially, because the government indoctrination gulags are so bad, they have to make it mandatory that kids be sent there so that they can learn how to pledge allegiance to the government's flag. And if you don't go, they'll send people out to get you, truant officers. So how is this different from the fugitive slave laws?
I have no idea, but Lou.
There's an escaped slave down at the library. Grab it and bring it back. It's learning unauthorized stuff.
Yeah, it's truly kind of bizarre how that system works. I don't get where these people think that they're doing any good. I really like Carlos Morales' work on his whistleblowing against the CPS, Child Protective Services, in I think he worked in Texas. But it's all around just kind of a messy system, and it's really pretty sick.
There's a fellow, I believe his name is Upton Sinclair. I believe he was a socialist. And just to show that socialists can say something right every once in a while, when a man's salary depends upon him doing the wrong thing, don't expect him to do the right thing. Or something to that effect. So I probably butchered the quote, but I at least got the spirit of it.
Definitely.
So, anything else on this lady and her plight?
No, I think that's about it. Yeah, definitely contact me. You can go to my about page on my website. That's ann-yak.com, ann-yak.com. I'd love it if we could get her some support.
Okay, I'll be sure to share that around, too.
Thank you.
And people should go there to listen to your podcast, too.
Oh, absolutely. I just put out a very good episode about entrepreneurship and personal liberty.
Okay, cool.
Great.
Are you flying solo on that, or was it an interview or what?
It was an interview. I had Drew Sample of the Sample Hour on to talk about it, to talk about his little bit of a business and some of his opinions on personal liberty.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. And you recently did an interview with Michael, correct?
Yeah, that was not last week, but the week before I had Michael on. It was really exciting. I Michael helped me set up the podcast, and I wanted to have him on for my year anniversary, but that's about when he was sick. So I didn't get to have him on. I just had Nima, which was really great. But I finally got Michael Dean on, and that was really cool.
Yeah, well, and that's a real tough get. I mean, it's, that's real exclusivity there.
That's right.
Well, and he's got to wheel all his life support equipment into the room and set it up next to the microphone and everything, because this is a teaching hospice. But yeah, I caught that on LRN. I caught the first hour, and so congratulations on being syndicated on LRN now.
Yeah, that's been going. I don't know how long. I think it's been a couple months. That was really cool to do that. Michael really helped out with that, in fact.
Yeah, now you know that
you do that the whole time.
You know that you're going to have to put out content on a regular basis, otherwise they'll cut you if you.
That's right. Fade. Yeah, yeah, I can't pod fade anymore. Get I was planning right. on it, but then too late.
Yeah, and you said some nice things about me, so thank you very much for that.
Yeah, actually, if people didn't know, Lusander was you were the first anarchist I ever friended on Facebook. You were like you weren't the first person I ever met, actually, who identified as an anarcho-capitalist or a libertarian anarchist. But you were definitely the first person to kind of start pushing me to do stuff.
Okay, well, just answering your questions. So, I will say this: it's been a couple of years that we've known each other and been communicating and everything. And I would have, you know, I have to say thank you for your friendship, because it's been a pleasure. And I know I've told you this on your podcast before, but I am truly envious of you, because I really didn't start pulling my act together until I was about 40, as far as coming up with a philosophy and understanding how the world works and really escaping the status indoctrination and brainwashing. I'm 40 years old when that happened, or almost 40, when I really started. And here you were, I think, 14 or 15 at the time, and already past where I was. So, youth is wasted on the young. You darn young whippersnappers.
Yeah, that is really impressive. It was similar for me. I was, 40-something, I guess 41, probably 42, when Luis I started really realizing me. What's going on. What's that?
You're older than me.
I just gave away my age. Yes, I'm the old one here.
Yeah, by like 4 or 5 months.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate that a lot.
Hey, we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends. I'll be joined by Granny and the Juvenile Delinquent when we come back. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Touching you with liberty. So, Lisa, you have some unhappiness about the TSA. What's going on with gate rape?
Well, the tyrannical sexual assaulters are at it again. On December 30th, young girl and her dad were coming home from their holiday vacation. And they were stopped by the TSA because the daughter, who's 10, had a half-empty Capri Sun, little juice pouch in her carry-on bag. So, of course, this is... God. Right. Obviously terrorism. So the dad said, how about we just throw away the juice pouch and we just go through and get on our plane and go about our day. And of course the TSA said, nope, we have to pat down your daughter. We have to search her. And so the father wasn't very happy about that, but what can he do? They obviously needed to get home. So TSA agent, female, gave the girl a pat down in front of everybody that lasted almost 2 minutes. So the dad recorded this and uploaded it to YouTube and said, is it just me or is this wrong? Yeah, he said he was fuming, but he knew that if he said anything, it was just going to make everything worse for everybody.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? I heard something about it, and I don't know if I saw a video on it, but that's very very disheartening to say the least. I have absolutely no idea what's up with these TSA folks and their constant touching of children just about anybody. So.
Yeah, and apparently after her pat down, they subjected the girl to additional screenings that lasted about an hour. All over her juice pouch.
Wow. You know, it's kind of funny because they'll usually have you throw out liquids if it's like a certain amount or more, and they have a little garbage can there. And I saw this interesting meme, and I think it's from stand-up comic, and it says, TSA, security is there because, in case you have a bomb. So if you have a liquid that's more than a couple ounces or something like that, which, by the way, that would mean that it's a little bit stronger because it has a higher concentration of explosives in there, they will confiscate it because it's a bomb. And they will throw it in the garbage can right next to their screening station. And that screening station happens to be where there's just a massive amount of people corralled like cattle in close proximity, but they have to do this because it might be a bomb.
Right. And that happened to me. I went to Austin, Texas in April. And when I was coming back home, I got stopped by the TSA. They sent me through the body scanner. Of course, something showed up. So they pulled me aside and I thought, oh no, like this, I've read horror stories about this. Now it's actually going to happen to me. I had a water bottle too that was full that they made me throw away. I know. So that was probably the first thing that alerted them that I was a dangerous person. So they made me throw away my water bottle in the trash can, like you said, right next to all of the, where everybody is congregated, and then send me through the machine. Something shows up. And a woman agent comes over with gloves on, and I'm thinking, this is not gonna, this is not gonna end well, because I'm probably just gonna say, forget it, and go rent a car and drive home.
You people with your hydration.
I know. I mean, imagine that. It's just, who would have thought? But yeah, I know people who have had toddlers. This has happened to. I know someone who had a 2-year-old who got the pat down and screamed and cried the whole time, and agent didn't care.
And grandmothers getting their knitting needles taken away from them,
mm-hmm.
because they might knit an Afghan.
Yeah, you gotta stop this.
I did not expect that one.
Hey, good queen humor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Nick, have you had to deal with TSA? Did they catch you when you had like children's Tylenol taped to your leg? trying to sneak through.
I know I've been through the airport, but I haven't been on a plane in years. The last time I was probably on a plane was when I went to Pennsylvania, and I know I did not get patted down. I've been lucky.
I think the last time I flew was in 2011, and quite frankly, with what TSA has done to destroy the joys of air travel, I don't plan on flying you again anytime soon. More Fruit of Fiends coming up right after this.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Talking about one of your recent dates.
When I went to Texas, you mean?
Yeah. For your special rendezvous at the airport?
It was a good time. So I, was asked to throw away my water bottle, asked to take my shoes off, went through the body scanner, which I was not happy about, but...
Let's clarify for people that are just tuning in, this is at the airport with TSA. This isn't in Texas, you know, out on an actual date.
Oh, no. Thank you for clarifying that. I might have gotten some messages about that.
Little 50 Shades of Grey there. I have unconventional tastes. Throw away your water bottle. Step in the scanner.
Take off your shoes.
Do you like my gloves?
Right. So, you know, it's bad enough they send me through the scanner. They take away my hydration. They, of course, there's an alert. You know, the guy's like, oh, you need to step aside. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. This isn't happening. Because when I used to write about news, I wrote about the TSA doing things like this all the time. And I thought, here it is. It's happening to me. I can't believe it. Well, my good friend was standing kind of off to the side waiting for me to come through. So she saw me and she was watching the whole thing. And I was like, I know she's going to record this if it gets crazy. So, you know, they say something appeared in my, how do I explain? In my zipper area, supposedly there was this like yellow box that showed up on the screen. So they pull me aside and this female agent comes over with gloves on and I'm thinking, there is no way that I'm going to submit to any kind of search. I'm not, just on the principle of it. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to rent a car and drive all the way from Texas to DC. And, the woman agent came over and she said, wait a minute, go through the, I was probably because I was scowling, but she said, go through the machine again. I want to check something. And I said, okay. And I walked through again and it was miraculously, whatever it was, didn't show up. So they let me go. I was no longer detained. But my friend said she was watching the whole thing and the look on my face. She said, you look like you were going to stab somebody. So, you know, that could be why they let me go, but yeah, it wasn't fun. I thought, you know, but what can you do?
sounds like a blast. Nick, what do you have on that?
Yeah, I think that's kind of an interesting thing. So I was reading the article, the one that was written by the former TSA agent, where he went into, he listed the, or she, I don't remember, I didn't catch that in the article, but listed in that list of terms that the TSA uses. But I like the story that they told, how the supervisor complained. I don't think they got fired, but they're like, why would you write this about us? Why would you complain about the TSA and the newspaper about how compensating the TSA is for this so-called war on terror? I thought that was interesting. So, I mean, why do they do this? Why do they have to try to do it? And they listed the underwear bomber as why they do the full body scans, I think. But
because they're desperate to catch their first terrorist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's security theater. I think it's probably a show to make us all think they're doing something. Also, maybe, you know, to let us know that, hey, we're in charge, and if you want to travel and do anything, you're going to comply with our rules. Because, you know, when I was reading this father's story about watching his daughter go through this, I thought how helpless he must have felt. I mean, to stand there and have absolutely no say in what's going on with his daughter, you know, his choice really was going to be comply with this and let them search your daughter and keep her for over an hour, or you're not going to fly home. You're going to be stuck here on the other side of the country because were trying to get back to California.
Mm-hmm. What is their justification for doing these things?
I think it's just control. I think it's just we're the boss and you're going to comply. And, you know, they're kind of showing us that all the children belong to us.
Okay, well, let's just say for sake of argument that it's not just straight up libido dominante, and libido dominante is the lust to dominate others. I'm not talking about the fun kind that costs $50 extra. let's say that that's not the case, but that's actual policy, and that they're not a bunch of lunatics and predators running amok. That this is a policy of if a 10-year-old little girl alerts on something, you know, whatever, she has to be fondled and everything else. So what do you think is going on there? Do you think they're just doing my job? I have absolutely no responsibility if I touch your daughter in a way that creeps everybody out. I'm just following orders, darn it.
I think it could be that. Just they're following orders, and maybe there's a serious lack of training or a lack of common sense. I mean, to me, it would be pretty obvious that a 10-year-old girl who has part of a Capri Sun in her backpack, you know, is not a terrorist. I mean, and people will try to justify this by saying, well, you never know. You know, her dad could have put something in the bag. Come on.
Well, when you have these policies like that, it's like zero tolerance rules in school. If a kid shares his asthma inhaler with his girlfriend who has the same prescription when she's having an asthma attack and gets kicked out of school, and incidentally, that's a true story because I couldn't make that up on my own. When stuff like that happens and they say, well, these are the policies and we must follow it, it's this obedience to authority and it's this obedience to regulations and rules and just nonsensical thinking. It's a complete lack of independent thought. And people believe that since they're following policy, that it completely absolves them of any responsibility. It's like when the cops beat the living hell out of somebody or kill somebody, and the chief of police comes out and says, well, the officers were following the department's procedure. Really? Well, your procedure sucks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's... At what point does someone say, it kind of reminds me in a way of the judge in the Hammond case, in the Oregon Ranchers case. I mean, the judge who initially tried the arson case said, you know what, these guys aren't terrorists. They were just doing a land burn, and so I don't think they need to serve this mandatory 5-year minimum prison sentence. But, you know, of course, common sense isn't so common, and, you know, other people had to come along and say, no, they have to. It's the law. You know, it doesn't matter if it's not ethical or it's wrong. It's the law.
This would probably be a question for Randy, our legal correspondent, and if he's not listening right now, I'm sure he'll be listening tomorrow or the next day. But I believe that the judge can set aside the verdict. And for example, I've seen this on TV. I don't know how often it happens regularly. If it happens in real life, it's quite rare. But if somebody gets convicted and it's obvious that it's a Bolshumer conviction, the defense counsel can request that the verdict be set aside, and the judge can actually reverse the jury verdict. It's extremely rare, but I think this would be one of the cases where it would be fitting. I generally think that it would be fitting in darn near all guilty verdicts myself, though.
Yeah, I would be prone to agree with you on that.
So, anything else on TSA? Do you have any more code words for us?
Oh, yeah. So, this whistleblower fella who wrote the article that was in Time has a blog. And he has a page called the Insider's TSA Dictionary, which is really interesting. So there are a bunch of things that are pretty alarming. Many of them have to do with alerting each other to an attractive female passenger. You know, like, hey, let's check this chick out. So one of the things they call attractive
women. Like
they're
at the mall. Like teenagers at the mall, right?
Right, yeah. It's like that. So one word they use is alfalfa. Now, I don't really understand why they chose that word. I probably don't want to know that that's one of them. And then something I thought was really interesting. Oh, also code red, code yellow. Well, there's a bunch of words they use for attractive female passengers. But something I thought was really interesting was this term they use called Bruce Schneiered. And what this means is when a passenger uses logic in order to confound and perplex an officer into submission. So an example would be, a TSA officer took my Swiss Army knife, but let my scissors go. So then I asked him, wouldn't it be more dangerous if I were to make my scissors into two blades, or go in the bathroom on the secure side and sharpen my grandmother's walking stick with one of the scissor blades into a terror spear? And then I pointed out that all of our bodies contain a lot more than 3.4 ounces of liquids. The TSA got all mad at me and asked me if I wanted to fly today. So they even have codes for people, you know, who question their decisions.
Don't logic me, bro. Don't logic me.
Yeah, we can't have that.
Gosh. Now, I think the code red would be for redheads, code yellow for blondes. I personally prefer ginger snaps for redheads.
Well, you might be biased because you came up with the term, but...
Yeah. So, Nick, tell us about your adventures of trying to smuggle yak meat through TSA.
So, it's pretty hard to try and take a yak on board a plane alive. I have tried that before. It did not fit through the scanner. The horns were too wide. So that didn't really work out. Nobody wanted to pat it down, right? They were a little too scared of the yak. So it had to go through the x-ray scanner. So instead, because I wanted to take it out to the Michigan Peace and Liberty Fest last year, but... I could not do it, so I was going to butcher the yak there for you guys, but then I had to take individual packages, and then they thought I was carrying a bomb, and I got tackled. It was not fun.
A meat bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they probably figured that you had a body. Now, I think they'd have to use one of those drive-up vehicle-mounted x-ray machines and pull up next to the yak. But what I would recommend for you to do is if you are coming out to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest this year, and it will be the last weekend in August, the weekend before Labor Day weekend, ride the yak out. That way it'll be nice and green. You get a chance to see America. You could probably stop off in Beast Lake, Wyoming and hang out with Michael and DJ. You know, maybe cut a couple steaks off the rump and have a dinner, and then, you know, come on out, and then just, you know, we'll put you in a box and ship you back via FedEx or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's a great plan.
You know, I've actually,
you're invited to come out too.
Can I ride a yak too?
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
So Mark Baker has a new video out, and have either of you had an opportunity to watch it yet?
No.
No, not yet.
No?
But I'm familiar with his story.
Okay, I sent this to you a couple days. All right, this one came out a couple days ago. I believe it's titled January 5th. If you want to keep up on this stuff and plus see things around the farm, the YouTube channel is called Baker's Green Acres. And I'll put a link to this video in the show notes. But anyway, this is an update on the most recent invasion of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Michigan Department of Agriculture, and the state troopers, and just a big giant assortment of government goons. So he's come up with some new information as he reports it. This is something he didn't know. When the goons came out to do an inspection, I guess there was a contingent of goons that were still in town, like they were going to come out and, I don't know, take over his farm or something like that, and, mm-hmm. you know, start waving the government flag, and I don't know if they were bringing snacks or anything like that, but supposedly there was reinforcements in town. And the warrant said that they were looking for suspected adulterated meat. And what that means is if there's any sort of contamination or something that's not supposed to be in there, like let's say a chicken feather, or if they suspect that there's bacteria in there, or if they suspect that, I don't know, something's just not right. Now, as far as when they suspect that meat is adulterated, what does that mean?
I could think of several things, but...
Yeah, and it's just a matter of, oh, well, I suspect this meat is adulterated. Why? I don't know, because suspicions.
Yeah, that's very vague.
So, yeah, it is very vague. It's definitely not specific, and it gives the government goons the opportunity to just roll through and do whatever the heck they want. You know, kind of like the TSA does.
Yeah, they're just going to bully you just because they feel like it.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say that they're bullying people because they like it. You know, they could just be following orders like the Nazi soldiers did, you know, just to a lesser degree. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's another place that he had mentioned, because he had talked before about a restaurant not too far from where I live, just a couple hours away, that that the goons went in there to check out the meat that came from his farm. And incidentally, the only food stuff that the inspectors have inspected at any of these places have come from Baker's Green Acres. It hasn't come from any of the major distributors like Sysco or anything like that. And there was a resort, and Mark had been working with the farmer, or with the chef out there. And after the goons went in there and created a big stir, this guy lost his job because the resort was changing its business model. So, thanks for destroying a small business, meaning the farm, and thanks for costing a chef his job, government.
Yeah,
way
wow.
to go. Nice
yeah,
going.
Way to go.
Now, the other thing is, in the video, Mark talks about what he believes is what kicked this whole thing off. There was a article in like a cigar magazine or something like that of a restaurant in Traverse City, which is not too far from where the farm is, a real fancy restaurant, and they were a customer of Mark's, and it shows the head chef there holding a ham, and the chef's in like a really fancy business suit. And as you know, chefs don't wear suits when they're cooking. They wear cook's whites with the checkered pants and everything. But, you know, this guy, for this photo opportunity, he's holding this ham. And some busybody saw this picture and said, "Hey, I wonder if that ham has been inspected at a USDA-approved facility, or if it was processed at a USDA-approved facility." And because some busybody had an interest, all these agencies got together and started chasing down Mark, and they never bothered to ask Mark if he was processed at a proper place. But they just went off on this tear.
They just
because they can. An inconvenient truth. Constitutions limit you. Second hour of Freedom Fiends coming up after this trip to the market. Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Who's stumbling over the words now, Lou?
I took some of your children's Tylenol. What do you think?
I see what's going on here.
Yeah, you think I messed up on Oxy or something like that? Like you, Nick, juvenile delinquent? No, actually, I told you earlier that I am kind of tired because I got home from work. Got home a little bit early, but went to sleep around 5. Yeah, woke up at 8 o'clock, couldn't go back to sleep, and I usually like to take my little cat nap in between work and the show. And so, yeah, I've been tired for the past couple hours. I've been kind of tired most of the show. So, yeah, that's why I'm stumbling over stuff. Plus, I also didn't have the intro up, so I had to open that out. But anyway, so, yeah, recently, the president, Barack Obama, has decided that he's going to, how could we put it, deal with a supposed problem here in America. And I guess he was on TV last night shedding some fake Glenn Beck-style tears whining and crying about children that died in drone strikes over in Afghanistan and Iraq and Yemen. And oh wait, I'm sorry about that. He was crying about different children, ones that he didn't sign the orders on. But anyway, he's going to be using executive orders. So he's taking he's taking his own action on there, and he stressed the importance of why he needs to act. You know, the fact that he should leave Congress out of this because they're just not doing what they need to do. So he just has to take it upon himself. And Kyle, if you could play that clip, that would be nice.
I taught constitutional law for 10 years. I take the Constitution very seriously. The biggest problems that we're facing right now have to do with George Bush trying to bring more and more power into the executive branch and not go through Congress at all. And that's what I intend to reverse when I'm president of the United States of America.
Oops. Apparently the truth comes out. He doesn't really believe that anymore. So, yeah, he's decided that he's going to take over and exclude Congress, you know, just like he criticized George W. Bush for doing. And he takes the Constitution very seriously, so. But anyway, there were a bunch of executive orders that came out. And Lisa, you have some info on there?
Yeah, so I came across an article today that said there's kind of a difference between executive orders and executive actions. So he apparently called what he's, you know, suggesting executive actions. Of course, you know, the media doesn't determine the difference. I came across a legal blog that said, well, wait a minute, an executive action and an executive order are different things. So an executive order is legally binding, and it's published in the Federal Register. But an executive action is more like a wish list of policies that he wants to see enacted. So he's done this before. He's come up with these, you know, lists before of things that he wants to happen. And, of course, nothing changes. So I think that a lot of this is just, again, it's political theater. It's him kind of pandering to his, you know, elections coming up. Let's make it look like the Democratic Party is doing things to stop these, you know, atrocities, these mass shootings. But the ideas that he has are really disturbing. Some of them really violate health privacy. Right now, doctors are not supposed to release your private health care information, you know, to the states or to anyone. But they want to make it so, Obama wants to make it so that they can. So he wants it to be, the states have to be compliant with this, if any of this ever goes through. So he wants to make it so that federal agencies can access any relevant data they want for their federal background check system. So this includes your health information. So they want to... where's the one that was the most disturbing? Mm-hmm.
Does a constitutional scholar expect the federal agents to get a search warrant as is required under the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, or does he just want them to go into like a patient record and take a look around?
It seems like he's just, he doesn't care about any of that. It doesn't suit his agenda.
He likes Articles 1 through 7.
Right. Or he knows darn well that none of this is ever going to be enacted. And it's all just, like I said, it's theater. It's him just saying, like, hey, look, we're doing something.
Kind of like the TSA.
Right. Right. It's all a show.
I saw the video. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things he wants to do is address unnecessary legal barriers, particularly relating to the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, that may prevent states from making information available to the background check system. That's a big deal.
Yeah. I was just looking at that. I saw a video clip yesterday. I did not watch the full live presentation of his crying and all that other nonsense. But I did see the clip of him crying, and he's talking about, you know, kids dying on the streets of Chicago. And a great way to reduce the number of people dying on the streets of Chicago or any other inner city or big city, whatever, would be to end the war on drugs. Because on drugs has probably more than doubled the homicide rate compared to prior to the war on drugs. During prohibition of alcohol, which created another illicit market, the homicide rate doubled within a couple years of prohibition being implemented. It instantly went up. And then as soon as prohibition had ended, the homicide rate had gone down to back where it was before the prohibition had started.
Good figure.
Yeah, so the government solution to a problem of people having some suds after work and having fun is wound up creating, you know, more murders and more alcohol-related illnesses and injuries and everything else. And so if you think the government's problems are bad or problems caused by government are bad, just wait till you see their solutions, because they're really going to mess things up even worse.
Yep.
So what else?
Seems like a pattern.
Yeah.
Well, he also wants to clarify that the Affordable Care Act will not prohibit doctors from asking their patients about guns in their homes. And I've heard about this happening. There's a few people I know who have gone to the doctor just for a routine visit and have been asked by their doctor, you know, do you own guns? Are there guns in your home? And, you know, the people that I know have said, it's none of your business. We're not going to talk about that. They also want to release a letter to healthcare providers clarifying that no federal law prohibits them from reporting threats of violence to law enforcement authorities. They want to provide incentives for schools to hire school resource officers. Now, I don't know what that means. There's no additional detail here. If it's anything like the school resource officers that I've seen video clips of in the past, that's not going to be a good thing.
Aren't they like TSA for the government indoctrination camps?
Yeah, they pretty much are. You know, they like to get really rough with the kids over really minor issues.
Yeah. Mm. Basically cause more problems than they solve. So.
Yeah.
And do you know what the root cause of all this nonsense is?
Tell me.
Nick, would you like to take a shot?
Sure.
You should know this.
I do know it. I know. I've read Larkin Rose's book. It's the belief in authority is what I would say it is. It's the belief that somebody can have the right to tell somebody else what to do or to have any sort of power over another.
Yeah. But even worse, it's this belief that the Constitution grants capabilities. It's the idea that a bunch of useless tax eater politicians can scribble some words down on paper, and all of a sudden results are going to come about from it. That people are going to change their behaviors, they're going to change their beliefs. You can end racism by writing anti-hate speech laws or by banning racist thought, or you can end violence with common sense gun laws, even though the president himself, as a younger man, used cannabis and cocaine and blatantly violated the common sense drug laws. And by the way, I know I didn't have enough sarcasm in my voice when I said common sense drug and gun laws, but just know that it's there. I was doing air quotes. I know you can't see it. But yeah, this whole idea that, you know, hey, I can write some words down on paper and all of a sudden healthcare will become cheap and abundant. You know, why don't we create one of these laws that stops people from murdering? And it's just absolutely idiotic. And this belief that people have, and both the left and the right have this problem, because the left believes that Democrats can write these laws and stuff will happen. The Republicans believe that Republicans can write these laws and stuff's going to happen. And the reality is nobody can write these laws and nothing's going to happen. The reason that you don't have murders all over the place isn't because there's murder laws. It's because people are not programmed to murder people. It really takes an awful lot of programming and conditioning, and even in the military, to get people to actually drop the hammer on another person. It's not a natural thing. The idea of killing people repulses them. I remember talking to this one guy. He was in Vietnam, and he's talking about he was over on a river, and he was getting ready to take out a guy on the other side of the river, and he had a sniper rifle, and he kept saying, well, as soon as this guy gets down to this particular point, I'll drop him. You know, hopefully he'll turn around and go somewhere else. The guy gets to a point, and he says, well, when he gets down to the riverbed, that's when I'll drop him. And the guy gets down to the riverbed, and he says, well, once he gets in the water and gets halfway across, that's when I'll drop him. And he never pulled the trigger. It turned out that the guy that was with him wound up doing it. But the bottom line is, this guy didn't want to kill another human being. So it's nonsense that laws get things to happen. No, it doesn't happen. So quit thinking that useless tax eater politicians scribble words on paper and make stuff happen. And even worse, they're even more important. Give up this nonsensical notion that politicians are leaders. Quit clamoring for leaders. Quit clamoring for a Führer. Lead yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Freedom Fiends. And welcome back. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Lisa and Nick. And Nick, you've been awful quiet. You got anything to say about the executive orders and the nonsense that goes along with it?
No, I think that you pointed out the greatest part of it is the hypocrisy of all politicians, right? Obama came out and criticized George Bush about the same thing, and now he does it himself. So it surprises me that people don't look into their favorite candidates very much and don't actually pay attention to what they say and what they believe, and then they still support them and will adamantly argue with you to claim that they're all right people and that they're doing a good job. That's all I had to say.
Yeah, and it's really amazing, and you point this out, but I really want to emphasize this. It's amazing that, like Obama, it doesn't matter who your favorite great man is. Anybody that's defending a politician, and you can show, like, the videotape of Obama saying this before, and then you point out that he's doing the exact opposite, and these people will defend him like they were, like he was their mother. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand the mental gymnastics that are necessary to be able to do this. I really don't. I pull a muscle just, you know, stretching the wrong way. These guys, they should have, like, their head popping.
It boggles the mind.
Yep. So anyway, let's move on to Oregon. And Nick's fellow yak farmers have taken over a federal building out there. But there's one minor problem. And what is that, Lisa?
They are looking for snacks and energy drinks and all kinds of goodies and socks. And because they apparently didn't plan this out very well, even though they said they were going to stay, you know, in the picnic area as long as it takes. So they are in a picnic area, but ironically, they're without food, I guess.
Well, maybe they expected there would be a vending machine there.
they're willing to die for their cause, but they are not willing to starve to death. They'd rather be taken out in a blaze of glory, I guess.
maybe they thought Yogi and the Ranger were leaving some picnic baskets there. Yeah, I hear they're getting really angry with all the abuse that they're taking over, because I know a lot of people are making fun of them, and I hear that they're very angry with the Freedom Fiends, and as a matter of fact, I hear, allegedly, one of them said, if the Freedom Fiends don't stop talking trash about us, we're going to go to Beast Lake, Wyoming, and we're going to march around Michael W. Dean's house and wave his no government flag at him in protest. Now, I did see the article where it's talking about the snacks, and they brought plenty of constitutions, but apparently you can't eat a constitution. they don't read it either. As a matter of fact, let me describe most of these people. The average Constitution hugger out there regards the Constitution as like an end-user license agreement on new software. They glance at it. They look at a couple sections like the privacy and everything. And then ultimately, they're like, too long, didn't read. But hey, if there's something really bad in there, you know, I think I would have heard about it by now. And they just click accept. And it's really asinine to do that. You know, with the software, you know that there's probably not going to be anything too horrible in there. Not that it matters. But with the Constitution, they're complaining about, well, we want the Constitution to be followed. Okay, well, there's an article in the Oath Keepers, and it's talking about, it's an urgent warning on the Oregon standoff. And they say that military special ops assets have been assigned for the standoff. So special forces, special operations soldiers from the Oregon National Guard under the command of JSOC apparently have been put in there, and then they suspect that Delta forces in there, and so they're saying, you know, get the heck out of there. Well, they're going to get their Constitution all right, because they're when the Oregon National Guard goes in there and puts 55 grain full metal jacket 223 caliber rounds through their foreheads, that's going to be providing for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. That's Article 1, Section 8. And if they're lucky enough to survive and they wind up down in Gitmo without a trial, well, that's going to come from Article 1, Section 9, Clause 2. The privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless when in cases of rebellion or invasion the public safety may require it. Yeah, these guys are going to get their Constitution good and hard.
They asked for it.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Freedom Fiends. Hey, this is Lou, and I'm joined by Nick and Lisa, and we're talking about the situation out in Oregon and how it's basically just turned into an absolute Schumer show. And I see myself running out of jokes to tell about it, but I keep seeing everybody trying to make sure that I don't run out of jokes. It's like a comedy of errors out there. And this whole, you know, please send snacks, you know, we're going to take over this picnic area, but we're not going to be prepared. And obviously not Boy Scouts, but
I know some prepping sites they should probably read before they plan their next little, you know, trip.
Yeah. Now, I do want to get serious, though. There's an excellent article in Ben Swan's Truth and Media that I was looking at earlier today, and I'm going to link this in the show notes to try and pick out particular highlights from this article would be extremely difficult. And the whole article is a highlight. It's probably one of the better articles I've seen in quite a long time on anything. And it really nails some points. And I am going to pick out a couple. Some of the things I read will be random, but you know, some of them will be specific. This whole war on terror thing, the title is, Oregon protest reaction shows war on terror is tearing America apart. And really it is. One of the things that they highlight in here is the, if you look at the whole Black Lives Matter and the shootings of Michael Brown and Ferguson, and I'm not saying Michael Brown was a good guy. Did he deserve to die? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. There's a lot of fishy stuff with that. Mm-hmm. Now, if everything that he is accused of is true, then I don't have a problem with him being killed. No, I hate to put it that way, but I'm really not buying a whole lot of the story on there. And then you talk about Tamir Rice and all these other things, but when you look at the police murders, the conservatives are traditionally, well, if you obey the law, you won't have these problems. You know, just submit and obey. And they demand that everybody, you know, go to court and follow the process and everything else. Now, the conservatives have a tendency to support the situation like the Bundy Ranch standoff back in 2014, and also this cluster bleep that's going on in Oregon right now. I don't think there's as much support for this Oregon thing, but they're less likely to criticize it. And the big thing is they called the protesters in Baltimore and Ferguson and all this other stuff terrorists. And they lumped the peaceful protesters that were marching around waving signs with the people that were looting and burning stuff.
Yeah.
Which is complete nonsense.
Right.
But now with this Oregon thing, you have the Black Lives Matter folks, or the people on the opposite side, more the lefty type of people, that are criticizing the Bundys of taking over this building. And incidentally, the media has described it as taking over a federal building, and they haven't said it, but they've implied that it's like a federal building in a downtown area, you know, with an IRS office, FBI, ATF, the Department of Acronym Creation, and all that other nonsense. No, I mean, it's like a shack out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's literally a picnic area, but that's not how it's being portrayed.
Yeah, to give some... give like a reference point to where this at is in Oregon, most of the population is in the Willamette Valley and along the coast, and the Willamette Valley is just in between the coastal range and the Cascade Range. And I'm right along the coastal range, and this is where most of the people are, Portland, Corvallis, Eugene. And then this, in the Malheur Park, it's way out near Burns, which is in the middle of nowhere in Oregon, the high desert. And so there's nothing out there except maybe this park.
So the park and no snacks, nothing.
Yeah.
No vending machines. No delivery, no Domino's or anything.
Yeah. And the tweets that have been coming out from the lefties on this are really amazing. And essentially they're calling these people terrorists too. Yeah, maybe they are. Who knows? But Have you been following the different tweets that have been out there, Lisa?
I have. There's the whole y'all Qaeda thing, the hashtag Yihad and Vanilla ISIS. Yeah, people are calling it domestic terrorism, saying we need to shut them down. I've even seen people saying, you know, the government needs to go in and blow these guys up, and you know,
not just Montel.
Violence, right? Yeah, not just Montel. Calls for violence, and I've been trying to point out this hypocrisy to people. Like, wait a minute, okay, so you were fine with people in Ferguson and Baltimore looting and burning down shopping centers and destroying neighborhoods, and you didn't call that terrorism. That was just protesters who had a right to be angry. These guys aren't doing anything. Like Nick said, they're in a park where there's no one around. They've talked about, you know, they'll use violence if they need to. But, you know, so if they haven't destroyed anything, they're...
Yeah, and probably nobody would have known about this had they not done a press release on it saying, we've taken over this abandoned place out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's kind of sketchy, too. I kind of question the motivation. What their motive really is.
Yeah, it's really been an interesting event, and I'm wondering how many Fed infiltrators are involved in this, because usually the militia groups are heavily infiltrated. It'd probably be easier to call the militia groups federal agencies than actual militia groups.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that too. And the timing of everything is strange too. Like the executive actions, you know, for more gun control come right around the time that this happens. I don't know. I just tend to think these things usually aren't coincidence. And that might be a stretch,
you never know.
But
you never
right,
know.
Right.
But I'm not going to say that the government doesn't go out and provoke things, you know, go out and poke people in the butt with a sharp stick and then wonder why they get angry. But I find it kind of curious that they went and took over this, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. I guess supposedly the land is used by ranchers that are going to ensure that those ranchers are able to use it. But what's really strange is the family, the Hammonds, they're going to jail. And incidentally, the whole reason that they have to go back to jail is because of terrorism enhancement on their charges. Yeah. So the war on terror creates more victims, more mandatory minimum nonsense. They didn't even ask the Bundys to come out there and do that. You know, the Bundys just took it upon themselves.
Yeah, apparently the Hammonds did not want the Bundys to get involved. They said, we just want to go and serve our time, and we want this to be over with, because we're tired of dealing with it, because it was such a long battle for them. And word is that their attorney spoke for them and said, you know, we didn't ask the Bundys to get involved. We don't want anything to do with this. You know, we don't want any trouble.
But the Bundys just took it upon themselves to go out there and do that.
Yeah, which makes me question, you know, what their real motivation is.
So, apparently, and obviously they think that they're the government. We're representing you, whether you like it or not.
Right, kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, next thing you know, they'll start taxing them from jail. But yeah, going back to this article here in Truth and Media, let me find my spot here. For every meme a conservative shares on social media characterizing Black Lives Matter protesters as thugs or local Muslims attempting to break ground on a new mosque as terrorists, it must be assumed that there will be an equal and opposite number of people subsequently calling for open carry protesters or pro-lifers to be shot on sight or incarcerated in Guantanamo Bay. The government could very well referee this conflict by someday giving both sides what they want. On the other hand, it's supporting the application of mandatory minimums to the Hammond family against the judge's objections and characterizing protesters gathering on federal property and refusing to leave as an insurrection. Many left-leaning commentators are by precedent calling for an undoing of the hard work that has been done so far to affect criminal justice reform in this country and are putting future Black Lives Matter protesters who might want to make their point by gathering on federal property and refusing to leave at risk of being victimized by state violence. Instead of looking for more reasons to define more people as terrorists, all Americans should be working together to restore due process rights. This division among American people might have exactly been what Bin Laden wanted in attacking the U.S. in the first place.
Yeah, that's spot on. Every bit of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, The thing is, you know, like the communists and the socialists, or the different types of socialists, they both agree on the same things. They're so close that you can barely slide a cigarette paper in between the two as far as their beliefs go. They're both sick and tired of the government. Now, what they need to do is come together and hate the government together and get rid of the government. But unfortunately, they don't want to get rid of government. They just want a government that bothers other people and leaves them alone. And that's how both sides are. And both sides can't both have that.
Yeah. It's I want the government to use force to enforce the things that I like or don't like.
They'll leave me alone. Yeah, they're getting what they want. They're getting it good and hard.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a Frederick Douglass quote that I whip out every couple months on the whole subject, and it's I'm going to butcher it, but a man cannot attach a chain to his neighbor's ankle without eventually finding the other end around his own neck.
Indeed, and that's very relevant.
Yeah, so keep good begging quote for government action, and you're going to keep getting it. Keep demanding leaders.
Worms. Yeah, that's something that I've been realizing recently when I'm watching people talk about this gun control thing. I see the liberals screaming, we need to take away guns. Oh, are you kidding me? Why aren't we dealing with these issues? And then the conservatives responding with, hey, these are our rights. And then they will go and attack something that the liberals would like transgender issues. It's like, why do you guys really want to fight over these things? It's like, why don't you actually take a step and look, hey, these are people too. They have wants and desires, and they want freedom, their own freedom. Why don't you give each other and let each other live their own lives, right? And I don't get it, how people don't see this and aren't able to kind of take a step down in the other person's shoes and look, hey, you know, these are people too.
Yeah, this political tribalism is really destructive. Lisa, your thoughts?
I think that's how politicians want it. You know, it's been said it's easier to conquer if you divide us first.
Agreed. We'll be back with the final segment, Redemption in the Third Act.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
He's a really funny.
He's okay. Yes, you are.
This is probably good for your ego, right?
If I was doing a stand-up routine with you and Diana Kyler, oh my God, I'd feel like the funniest comedian on earth. All right, so redemption in the third act. What have we talked about so far? We talked about the snack off, Obama's crocodile tears, and TSA. Nick, you wanted to talk again about that fundraiser for that young lady out in New York?
Yeah. So if you guys didn't listen to the first segment of the first hour, I'm trying to help out a mother who is being threatened by CPS. That they want to take away her kid and they want to arrest herself. And so we're trying to get some either financial help or some tips for what she can do in family court. If you know anybody that could help, or if you'd like to help her out financially, you can get in touch with me. I don't want to give my personal contact information out on radio, but if you go to my website, ann-yak.com, ann-yak.com, in the About page, you can find my email address there, or you can listen to an episode, and I usually give you a way to contact me.
Now, have you followed Carlos Morales' work documenting CPS? How closely have you looked at that?
Yes, I have looked into it a little bit. I've not read his book, but I have interviewed Carlos Morales on the show before. I've had a pleasure talking with him, and I've always enjoyed the episodes on his own podcast, the Libertarian Atheist Podcast, regarding CPS. In fact, the most recent one was a really great it was a reading.
Fiend phone.
That
Fiend phone.
Somebody wrote, and it was great.
Okay. Yeah, and he was a CPS whistleblower, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the Fiend phone, unnecessary random re-education interruption exigency system, or furries. It's the back door I put into every copy of Fiend phone. I'm just up from my nap and want to see how you kids are doing on the last segment.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing fine. Don't be surprised if the Oregon folks are marching around your house waving your BIPCOP flag at you in protest.
Okay, this show may be monitored for quality control by me.
Too late.
What did you do to the Oregonians?
Oh, we made fun of them.
Hasn't it been a whole week of that? But, you know, I mean, we agree that there's a problem to be protested.
Yes. The problem is government. The problem isn't this government. You know, they don't want to be ruled by this particular government, but they still want a ruler. You know, they want the Constitution to be enforced, but apparently only the parts that they've read. So
yeah, man. Constitution allows the government to do everything they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, just go have a look at Article 1, Section 8. For those of you out there that haven't read it, you know, those of you that have regarded the Constitution as an end user license agreement for software, you know, too long, didn't read, must be okay. Click.
Yeah.
So what's going on, Michael? I haven't talked to you since like yesterday.
I don't know. Somebody just sent me something on Red Ice Radio. It's an interview with Christopher Cantwell, pro-white libertarianism, hour one.
No. Man.
That guy, I mean, he couldn't get more controversial without wearing a swastika armband. That's all I can say. I'm just reading my email. I just woke up. I didn't plan on this.
When he wears the swastika, it doesn't mean that he's a Nazi. Maybe it means that he's protesting the Nazis and he's waving their swastika at them.
To try to change them from within.
Yeah.
And I'm does trading guns for weed violate Obama's new gun control directives?
I didn't see anything specifically listing weed in there.
Okay. I think they left that out. I didn't see it in the list.
But that might fall under Department of Agriculture. And if you have pigs in there, there'll be a problem.
Yeah.
So are we in trouble for anything?
No, I've been on 1% of the show, so I can put my name on as having participated.
Oh, okay. Okay, and I do want you to know that I'm sending you the special show picture again.
All right.
Yeah.
I look forward to it, man.
Yeah, Nick, you're going to love the show pick for tonight.
Oh, God. I have no idea what this is. I have no idea. Lisa, I don't.
Oh, Lisa, I saw Nick, it.
Lisa and Nick, thanks for coming on. It's always a pleasure. Michael, thank thanks for interrupting.
It's Nick, it's straight out of rehab.
For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Pro yak libertarianism.
Word.
You yak farmers. Can I say that on radio?
Got a permit for that, for those words?
Got a permit for that free speech?
Here, have some constitution.
Slap you with a pocket constitution.